Ah, the writing study, or an office. That's a dream, isn't it? I look at the rooms where writers work and dream of my own, a nest to hatch stories. The writing space and our writing time are the focuses for this episode of The Write Focus. Come along as we slide along every writer's space and time conundrum.
Welcome to The Write Focus. We cover productivity, process, craft, and tools. Our podcast episodes last as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. All through the summer months, we focus on the craft of writing novels and novellas and epics, from beginning ideas to prepping for publication, week by week by week.
Before we begin, I need to do an update on summer writing. M.A. Lee finished Portrait with Death and published, as of recording this episode. No cover yet for the paperback version, but the ebook is up and available. A mystery in 1920, a wintry English village with a philandering card cheat of a victim and plenty of suspects. Look for Portrait with Death. This is the third book in the Into Death series featuring the artist Isabella Tarrant and introducing Flick Sherborne, an intrepid photographer. Remy Black is into her second trilogy of novellas in the Fay-marked world. The first is entitled The Weirded Forest, and Edie Runes is still struggling through the fourth and final novel in her fantasy series, Seasons in Sandsward. Space and time is our focus for Analysis D. Sounds like science fiction or a literary theme, doesn't it? Our focus is your control over writing spaces and writing times. Do you have an area devoted to your writing? You should. Set aside an area where you work, bum in chair. Yes, I know you like the couch, or spread out on the bed, or a comfy chair, or the kitchen table when everyone is gone. Those won't work. First, comfortable places are known by your brain as comfortable places, intended for lazing around. And that's what your brain will do. Laze and meander and drift off and be distractible. Approaching your writing space will soon become habitual. The habit itself will affect your brain. As soon as you walk toward the writing space, your brain will turn on the writing synapses. Second, you can count your writing space as a tax deduction. Seriously, measure it out and report it on your tax return. It's nice to have deductions when you have increasing income. In your writing space, put what you need to generate ideas. Essential tools for writing include pens or pencils and paper, laptop and printer and paper, mouse and mouse pad. Tools to save your eyes include a copy stand, sticky notes, highlighters, a great lamp, magnification glasses, and amber glasses to avoid blue light. Tools to save your health include a timer, sturdy tabletop, great chair with rolling wheels, and a chair mat. The amber glasses to avoid blue light and the magnification glasses will save your eyesight in the long term. Your eyes are the key to a long, prolific career. The timer, especially a Pomodoro timer and its equivalent, reminds you to get up and move around, which is beneficial to your eyes and your body. Follow the 30-5 or the 45-15 rule. Work for the longer span, walk around for the shorter span. As you walk around, look at distant objects. You have been concentrating on a screen about an arm's length away from your eyes. Rest your eyes by looking away. Bum in chair has its own problems. You need a great chair, one that supports your upper and lower back areas as well as your bum and hip joints. Working in your lap, leaned back with your feet up, sounds great, but most writers who do use that posture have reported problems with carpal tunnel syndrome from writing on a keyboard on their lap. Save the kicked back, relaxed time for when you are revising and proofreading. It's tedious work. You need to feel relaxed then. The seat should be adjustable. Lower it to prevent your legs dangling. Raise it to prevent your legs from scrunching up your hip joints. You should not feel the seat braces that support the cushion. Having arms for the chair is up to you. The ability to lower and raise the arms should be an option. You do not need a headrest. That's turning the chair into a sleeping area, which defeats the purpose of the workspace. Rolling capability cuts both ways. You need to roll to access things just a little way, but don't roll across the room. Get up and move. That promotes blood circulation, and blood feeds the brain, right? Do you know who spends more time at a keyboard than writers? Professional pianists. What posture are they taught? What is the position of their hands in relation to the keyboard? What is the position of their legs under the keyboard? That's right. A desk serves the creative writer at work, not a creative writer slouching around. Do you have these additional tools to save time? Paper clips, binder clips, scissors, sticky flags, flash drives, paper for notes, foam board or coke board to post the sequence of the novel, calendar of upcoming goals, inspirational photos, calculator. Notice that I didn't add your smartphone. It's not in this list. Smartphones are a huge distraction. It dings, you pick it up, disrupting your thought process. You know what? Messages can wait. Important calls will go to the voicemail. Do you pick it up for research? You know what? That can wait. Make a note of the research you need and keep writing. After you finish, or the next day before you start, find the information you need. Start the next session with inserting the information where it needs to be. Keep the internet away from your writing area. That will rev up your brain for working. About the only reason you should have the smartphone nearby, not close by, is for white noise. Background noise drowns out other people talking, cars passing, dogs barking, and the constant phone dings. Select something like rainfall, or waves on the shore, or quietly rhythmic music composed without words. Songs you like to sing to are also disruptive. You stop writing and start singing. In some books, writers have posted their writing song list. Driving guitars, heavy drum beats, singers screaming, nyah. That's not conducive to creative flow, people. Natural sounds are tied to the creative flow. Classical music is based on mathematics. That will turn on the critical side of the brain. We need the creative brain when we're working to draft. When we're working for revision and all the steps of publishing, then we can turn on the creative brain. So to stay on the creative side of the brain, head for the natural sounds. Waterfalls, rain, ocean waves, a crackling fire. Nature, comfort but not ease. Tools handy, workspace ready. We've solved the key elements of a writing space. Now to solve the writing time conundrum. Over these summer months, we've gained knowledge of our writing method and discipline. Let's plan to set that as a schedule. Look ahead at the end of summer and the fall seasons. First, family will always come first. Second, work pays the bills. Health should never be neglected. And fourth, your social life includes friends and close colleagues from work and other social activities like church. These are the four necessities that you have to work into any calendar. Anticipating what might interfere can help writers overcome the inevitable slowdowns from disruption. When disruptions interfere, our plan can keep us from becoming discouraged. If you know a day will be spent driving to and from a family gathering, schedule that day of the week for your rest, planning, or creativity day. Plan for the flip, and you'll glide through the week. Relationships with family and friends and colleagues keeps us going. We learned their importance during lockdown, didn't we? All relationships are built on the tripod of attraction, compatibility, and devotion. Most important are three bonds: the family bond, the friendship bond, and the intimacy bond. We work to maintain compatibility and devotion over the progress of years. If any leg of the tripod fails, then the relationship begins to falter. Family is the strongest and most reliable bond. You may have conflicts with family members. You may have past history to overcome. Only a few families are totally dysfunctional, deep into drug use, twisted by past traumas. Sociopaths and psychopaths are the severely unbalanced through chemical deficiencies may fill the family group. But not all members of the family have these problems that make them difficult to get along with. Most of your family are people that you can totally rely on, the ones who want the best for you, the ones who support your struggles. We bond with friends who've suffered with us through trauma. The vast majority of our friends, though, are friends of association rather than true connection. Be aware that there are concentric circles of friendship with the closest friends almost like family, then working outward to those who are better acquaintances but with whom we have no common background. Our bonded friends should be able to call upon us in times of trouble, just as we call upon them. On the outer rim of our concentric circles of relationship are the friends of association, the new friends, the acquaintances. These are not the people who will sit with us day after day at the hospital. They might drop in, that's all. Bonded friends will be there without being asked. Social commitments can be difficult to avoid. Remember, we operate based on WIBO. Would I be better off writing? The most difficult thing is to overcome guilt. family, and bonded friends impose the greatest guilt when we're tugged between them and our writing. When they need us, but we're desperate for words, we have to release the writing go. We can reschedule or work harder. When we're with family and friends, we need to be totally present. Be engaged with them, not distracted by the smartphone. The rules for our writing business: no smartphone during creativity. Calls can go to voicemail. Texts can wait. These hold doubly with our strongest relationships. When you have been with them, then it's much easier to say no to them when you need to be writing. As writers, we have to say no to simple events. We can say, "No, I can't go to the movies this weekend. I went last weekend with you. I need writing time tonight." True friends and family will support your goal and be willing to reschedule later. Or we can say, "No, I can't volunteer for that meeting. I volunteered last month and the month before." Or we can say, "No, I can't watch your baby all day Saturday. I'll be happy to watch him for 2 hours, but I can't give you the whole day. Yes, I love him, but I need time to concentrate on something." And we can say, "No, I'm sorry, that's not possible. I have something that I really need to get done." That last point should work for all situations. It's polite. They're rude if they inquire too closely. Just look at them. Don't say anything. Then smile and walk away. And if they impose upon you time after time after time without giving you anything in return, shift them farther out in your friendship circle to the acquaintance concentric circle. Work pays the bills. Always remember that. Keep the day job long after you want to write full time. Don't write at work. The rabid boss who discovers you writing on the clock could claim your writing as work product and garnish your hard-earned writing dollars. That's a worst-case scenario, to be sure, but don't become the example for it. After all, as famous as Nora Roberts is, only fools would plagiarize from her. But it keeps happening, doesn't it? Most recently with the copy-paste Chris scandal. Work commitments will drive you crazy. When the boss demands 4 extra hours, which will interfere not only with your writing time, but also your sleep time, your schedule is blown for 2 days, not just one. You can only work harder before the stress begins a mental and physical collapse. If you've had a stressful week, sleep helps. Exercise helps. Both of those help your overall health. By the way, writing is sedentary. Writing for hours after hours is not healthy. I wish it were. Bum in chair requires your body to sit at a desk, arms lifted for long, long minutes. Even if you dictate while on a treadmill, you still need seat time. The Pomodoro method of 35 or 45-15 will help. Just keep moving during the writing breaks. Look into the distance. Get a step tracker and try to increase your steps. A minimum of 10,000 per day is best. Good eating habits are essential. Good nutrition feeds the body and the brain. Bad food sends both body and brain into decay. Avoid highly processed or overly sugared foods and drinks. Carbonation is not your friend. Avoid caffeine when it will interfere with your sleep. Some people cut caffeine completely. I love coffee too much. I know how much I can drink and when I need to stop drinking it each day. Plenty of pure water is essential. Water is God's nectar. Spring water or distilled water should be your choice. 64 ounces is the minimum. It will also drive you to get up and move around. Adequate sleep and sunlight affect your creativity and your mood. Writing depends on both of these. Doldrums, lethargy, increase your sleep and sunlight. If the problem doesn't fix itself in a day, drink more pure water. Purify your diet. No starches or sugars. No fast foods. No highly processed foods. Start walking. If you can't go 45 full minutes, do 3 sets of 15. Fallen off the nutrition and the exercise? Then start right back up. Don't worry about the days you've missed. If you injured yourself, resume your regimen more slowly. Geez, use a little common sense. At the end of the week, with all 7 of these in action, you should see improvement. So in planning your writing schedule, block out time for family and friends. Schedule a weekly work overage unless you're a lucky duck with work that doesn't interfere with your home life. Schedule for your weekly or monthly routines, like paying bills. Schedule free days. Know your upcoming commitments, holiday times, and obligations that keep you and your social life and your work life going. Now schedule daily writing, whether a reasonable word count or a page count or a time count. We've solved the time issue. All that matters is your writing discipline, and that depends on your devotion. Keep in mind what you want. That helps with devotion, along with scheduled free time. Knowing you have free time coming helps you stay devoted when you should be writing. Last of all, know your rewards for the celebrations. Celebrate completing the rough shape, the draft, finishing revision, editing, and corrections, and definitely celebrate publication. Next week, we have the double D's of designers and deadlines. Then we can launch into the harvest stage. Publication is approaching. Inspiration this week comes from Agatha Christie, the dame, the woman who made the greatest impact in the 1900s. She said, "All I needed was a steady table and typewriter. A marble-topped bedroom washstand table made a good place. The dining room table between meals was also suitable."
Thanks for listening to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, hosted by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Runes from Writers, Inc. Books. All through the summer months, our focus is the craft of writing. We are discovering your novel from beginning idea to prepping for publication. We'll work through the process stages of foundations to story, envisioning the story, analyzing story before, during, and after the draft, harvesting the story through revisions and enhancements, and prepping the story for publication. Many of these preps and guides are useful setups for the National Novel Writing Month in November. That's writing only, you know, no idea work. We can also use this information to solve issues with stories that we've abandoned. All those stories are crying in the wilderness. Time to rescue them with the right focus. Show notes for this and other episodes can be found at therightfocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at winkbooks@aol.com. Remember, whatever occurs, write on.